We're continuing on in our series, our locally grown sermon series, and today we're taking on the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit, faithfulness. And because I've had my head in scriptures about God's faithfulness, and because I've been thinking about it for over a week, I heard us singing lyrics that declared God's faithfulness, song after song. I sometimes wish every one of us had that much in our hearts from his word before we got here, and then when we sang the truth, it would undo you like it does me, I think. So I was thinking, Lord, somehow let me unload what's here quickly, and then let's go back and do the song list all over again, and then you'll get what I was getting of God's faithfulness. Faithful forever you will be. Luke and Sarah do it way better. I saw that in your eyes. So we're going to continue on with the fruit of the Spirit, our locally grown series, and we're going to read our anchor text again. Galatians 5, I'll start in verse 13. You can follow along, you can just listen. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you make even the reading of your word impart truth into our lives? Father, please forgive us for allowing our freedoms to harm one another. Make us more like you, Jesus, faithfully serving and sacrificing for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we begin talking about a word like faithfulness, three big syllables, a lot of weight and big meaning packed away in this word. So we want to look at a definition, then we're going to look at things that keep us from faithfulness, then we're going to look at things that encourage us towards faithfulness, then we're, time permitting, going to look at an Old Testament story that portrays faithfulness so beautifully. So faithfulness. Faithfulness, by many different dictionaries, means loyal, steadfast, trustworthy. Those are great synonyms. Loyal, steadfast, and trustworthy. There's a second meaning that's really deep, and it says, full of faith. So it isn't just being faithful, it isn't just being steadfast, trustworthy, loyal. It means full of faith. Now, one of the dictionaries I looked at said, that's an obsolete definition. I just want you to know, that's not obsolete. That's Christian definition, full of faith. Anyone in the world of any faith or religion can strive to be steadfast and loyal and trustworthy, but Christians who are full of faith in Jesus Christ embody a deeper meaning of faithfulness. And I want to call it level one and level two. So level one is being loyal and steadfast. Level two is being full of faith and walking in God's faithfulness. So we'll pick up on that later on. Full of faithfulness, fully believing in God and all that he promises in his word. Faithfulness, fully believing in God and all that he promises. In our home, right inside the front door, we have a chalkboard. We hang our keys on it. Most of the time I try to remember to do that anyhow. But on the chalkboard, Sue will regularly write some nugget of truth that she gets out of her devotions. And I don't know who to credit this with, because Sue wrote it up there, and I don't know where she got it, right from God. Sue talks to God. It says, there has never been a time when God has been wrong. Not ever. God is trustworthy. So I want to take that thought. There's never been a time when our God has been wrong. Not ever. He's trustworthy. I want to add this version. There has never been a time when God has broken a promise. Ever. Every word of God is true. Always. That's faithfulness. I thought we would expand the definition of faithfulness from steadfast, trustworthy, full of faith, to the things that Jesus said about faithfulness. So we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures fairly quickly, and I'm going to just make a few observations. So here's Matthew 23. Jesus talking, teaching his disciples and talking to the religious teachers. He says in verse 23 of chapter 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." So from this real quick, I want to say faithfulness is not selective according to Jesus. True, godly faithfulness covers all of our life. It isn't okay to get it right in one area of your life and tithe a little bit on your tiny spice garden and then forget the big matters of life, which is faithfulness and mercy and justice. Godly faithfulness is all through our lives. Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46, Jesus again teaching his disciples. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." Faithfulness is doing what you're asked to do. Obedience. Faithfulness is obedience, church. Obedience, even when the master delays, even when things aren't happening as quickly as you wanted to. Obedience when nobody is watching. Faithfulness is doing what you're asked. Faithfulness is obedience. Matthew 25, Jesus again teaching his disciples. And here's the parable of the three servants who were given talents in different amounts. And those three servants did three things with those talents. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to the first and second servant who multiplied what they were given. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Faithfulness begins in small things. He says, "You've been faithful with a few things." Faithfulness always begins in small things. And faithfulness brings our Father joy. When we're faithful, we put a smile on God's face. He's happy. It brings him joy. Even tiny stuff makes God happy when we're faithful. Luke 16, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy, I'm going to blame it on holding a microphone. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Faithfulness in our finances, faithfulness in wealth is foundational. It's where we start, church. It's not the finish line. So when we've mastered faithfulness in stewarding our finances, stewarding the wealth that God's blessed us with, we can now rejoice because he's going to start entrusting us with true riches. He's going to start entrusting us with people's lives, and that's what he really cares about. Last thing, and this isn't the last thing that Jesus embodies in faithfulness, but it's just the one I had to cut it off somewhere, so here it is. John 19, Jesus is on the cross. He's being crucified, and when he had received this drink, Jesus said, "It is finished," and with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Multiple times, he told his disciples, "I've come. I'm going to lay down my life. It's going to be raised up in 3 days," and they're like, "Ah," they couldn't understand it, and then he does it, and he says, "It is finished." What is finished? The bondage of sin and death was broken and finished. Faithfulness finishes what it starts. And Jesus is the ultimate finisher. You ever start something in your life and not finish it? In the last month, yesterday. Jesus finishes everything he starts. And here's some good news in Philippians 1. Paul got a revelation of it, and he began praying for people that he loved. And he said, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you and me will carry it on to completion until the return of Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship. He isn't finished with you yet, but he will finish because he started with you. And he finishes everything. He keeps every promise. That's faithfulness. Don't you want to be that way? So faithfulness is comprehensive. It covers all of our life. Faithfulness is obedience. Faithfulness begins in small things. Faithfulness brings joy to our Heavenly Father. Faithfulness in wealth is a starting point. Faithfulness always finishes what it starts. So that's what Jesus has to say, in part, about faithfulness. Now let's look at what inhibits faithfulness in our lives. Let's look at what I call faithfulness zappers. It's like them bug zappers. Faithfulness zappers. First big one, fear. I'm sorry. Fear. In that Matthew 25 passage where he was talking about the three servants, and two of them did well with their talents, and one of them did poorly. And the one who did poorly said, "I was afraid, and so I hid what you gave me in the ground." Adam and Eve, when they messed up in the garden, they went in hiding. Fear puts us in hiding and makes us unfaithful, makes us miss our destiny. I was afraid, so I hid my talent. Fear. Selfishness and pride. In that passage in Matthew 23 where I was reading about the Pharisees, they give a little money on insignificant things, then we hold back love and generosity from people and from the ones that truly matter. And it's so like us. We want to draw attention to the performance where we're getting it right and hope everyone doesn't notice the hatred and the anger in our hearts. Selfish and pride inhibit faithfulness. Judgment and curses, things that have been spoken over people's lives. Things like, "You will never amount to anything. You are worthless. You're an embarrassment to this family." Those kinds of curses and judgments. James 4 and 12 says, "Who are you to judge your neighbor?" There is no judgment of one another in the kingdom of God. But But how many times do we do that to one another? Disapproval. Ever had anyone in your life who's always correcting you? It doesn't inspire me or move us toward faithfulness, does it? Things that are said like, you should have said this. Why didn't you do that? It would have been better if you had done this. I can come up with so many examples because I've done that to the Lord and to Sue so many times. Why didn't you say this to her? Why didn't you do this? Disapproval is a huge zapper of faithfulness. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, babe. Disconnection and isolation zaps our faithfulness. Pulling away from the body of Christ. Satan loves to isolate us and then start whispering lies and deceit. It's how he picks us off. He'll whisper, nobody cares. They don't even notice you didn't show up. No one will want to be around you if they really knew what you were like. All that kind of garbage the enemy whispers to us to isolate us and then destroy us and pick us off. Fear, pride, judgment, disapproval, isolation, all these things hinder faithfulness from growing in our lives. So now let's look at things that enhance faithfulness. Continuing with our locally grown fruit metaphor, what makes good faithfulness fertilizer? Yeah? Love. First Peter says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Perfect love drives out fear, John said. Love grows faithfulness beautifully. Relationship with God and with others is good fruit fertilizer for faithfulness. You like this alliteration I'm working on? Hang on. 1 Corinthians 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. Ephesians 2, 22 says, in him you two are being built together to become dwelling, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Fellowship with God and others is not optional. It's essential, church. It's how he made us to be members of one body. Another incredible enhancer of faithfulness is encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Encouragement fosters faithfulness in ways that judgment never will. Encourage one another in words, in actions, serving one another. Encourage, encourage. I love being around encouraging people. Words of honor and affirmation encourage us. Words of honor enhance faithfulness. A good friend of ours, Paul Reed, said it the first time I remember hearing it, relationships don't thrive in an atmosphere of disapproval. But when you speak words of honor and affirmation over one another, it grows our faith and it grows faithfulness. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another. In the past few weeks, I've received a few written notes from some of you. I want to say thank you for showing that appreciation. Some came with gifts. Some, the words were the gift. We just can't underestimate how much affirmation and honor builds faith and builds faithfulness in our lives. My wife and Dick Blackwell are two of the most faithful people I know. The other definition, that full of faith definition, when I'm around Dwayne White, I feel like God is about to do anything. When I'm around Kent and Mary Alice Martin, and they're praying year after year for a brand new facility that will be done without any debt, I start to believe what they believe. They're full of faith people. They inspire. I just honor those people in my life. I honor Sue for her faithfulness to the Lord and to me. I honor Dick for his faithfulness over decades building this church. You know, he learned how to do Facebook in the last year so he could continue to speak life to the body of Christ. And he's been doing these little devotionals, and you should go listen to him. How are we doing on time? Uh-oh. I could go through this room and just acknowledge and affirm the faithfulness of so many of you. And I know, and the Lord knows everything that I don't know, as you're quietly, invisibly, when no one else is watching, being faithful. Well done. Do you know it wasn't when Jesus finished his ministry that the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, spoke? He's an adult, yeah, and he's getting into the river and being baptized by John the Baptist. And the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," because he's already done 3 years of miracles. No, it wasn't what he did. It was who he, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And I just want to say right now, I look at these people here and I can imagine people through the live stream camera. God sees your faithfulness and he's saying, "You're my daughter, you're my son, well done. You please me. You put a smile on my face." I just hear the Father saying that over so many of you. He's calling right now to tell somebody that. Role models. Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." We have a mentoring ministry in this church. You should jump into it because you will be led to follow Christ along with other believers. And you'll get to lead others to follow Christ. Jump in, be a role model, find a role model, do mentoring, follow one another's examples. Love, relationships, encouragement, honoring words, role models, all of these things are fertilizer that fosters the fruit of faithfulness. Fertilizer that fosters the fruit of faithfulness. That's really good. So we've looked at faithfulness defined, faithfulness zappers, and faithfulness fertilizers. I wanted to look at an Old Testament story of Hosea and then read a few verses of it over you. It is the most impactful picture of God's faithfulness overcoming our unfaithfulness that I've ever read in Scripture. And it's a 14-chapter Old Testament minor prophet book. And I wanted to summarize it and then read these passages for you, but I have a video summary that's 2.5 minutes. So let's try that. Let's see if this works. Here's a summary of Hosea.
The book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea lived in the northern kingdom of Israel, which he sometimes calls Ephraim or Jacob, about 200 years after they had broken off from southern Judah. Remember the story from 1 Kings. Hosea was called to speak on God's behalf during the reign of one of Israel's worst kings, Jeroboam II. The nation was descending into chaos, and in the year 722, the big bad Assyrian Empire swooped in and decimated Israel. Again, see the story in 2 Kings. And Hosea had seen all of this coming. The book is a collection of some 25 years of his preaching and writing. It's almost all poetry. And this whole collection has been designed to have three main sections. Let's just dive in and you'll see how it works. The opening part tells the story of Hosea's broken marriage to a woman named Gomer, who commits adultery. Now, it's not totally clear whether Gomer slept around with other men before or only after they got married, but they did have 3 children together and things fell apart. The important point is that God tells Hosea that despite Gomer's unfaithfulness, he is to go find her, to pay off her debts to her lovers, and to commit his love and faithfulness to her once again. And then God says that all of this, the broken and repaired marriage, the children, it's all a prophetic symbol telling the story of God's relationship relationship to Israel. So God has been like a faithful husband to Israel. He rescued them out of slavery. He brought them to Mount Sinai, where he entered into a covenant with them. He asked them to be faithful to him alone. But then he brought Israel into the promised land, and they took all the abundance that he gave them, and they dedicated it to the worship of the Canaanite god Baal. And so God has a legitimate reason. He could end the covenant and divorce Israel, and he thinks about doing so, but instead, he says that he's going to pursue Israel again and renew his covenant with them. And he says why. It's purely because of his own love, compassion, and faithfulness. Hosea then spells out what all this means. He says the consequences for Israel's rebellion will be imminent defeat by other nations and exile. But there's hope for future restoration. One day Israel will once again repent and come back to worship their God. And Hosea says he will place over them a new messianic king from the line of David who will bring God's blessing. And so this opening section introduces all the main ideas of the book. Israel has rebelled, and God's going to bring severe consequences, but God's own covenant love and mercy are more powerful than Israel's sin. And
so in the right there, God's own covenant love and mercy are more powerful than Israel's sin. There's the gospel, church. It's good news. His faithfulness is bigger than my sin. His faithfulness and love is bigger than all our sin. Hosea, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So Hosea married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. So in this prophecy, in this book of the Bible, Hosea obeys God. Hosea is the type of Christ, and we are the bride in this story. We're Gomer. Worship team, you could come up. So when I read some of these verses, anywhere you see Israel or hear me say Gomer, put your own name in that place. I will fence her with thorn bushes, God says. I will block her path with a wall to make her lose her way. And when she runs after lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them but not find them. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has. We don't realize that our loving God has given us everything we have, and we have been unfaithful. Every prophetic promise that is made to Gomer or to Israel in this book of the Bible is a promise for us today. Then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. O Israel, O Grace Covenant Church, I will wipe away the names of Baal from your lips and will never mention them again. On that day, I will make a covenant with all the wild animals and the birds of the sky and the animals that scurry on the ground. They will not harm you. I will remove all weapons of war from the land, all swords and bows. You can live unafraid and peace and safety. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. That's what the Lord shows us. In spite of how we respond to him, I will show you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will know me as Lord. Chapter 14, return to the Lord your God. For your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Assyria can't save us, nor can war horses Our gross national product can't save us, neither can our military. Never again will we say to idols we have made, you're my God. The Lord says, I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. O Israel, stay away from idols. O Grace Covenant Church, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayer, says the Lord, and cares for you. Our God is faithful, church. His faithfulness is bigger than our sin. His faithfulness overcomes every bit of failure in your life. His faithfulness is really too immense for us to grasp. You know, we love having people around us who are faithful, right? We love and aspire to be more faithful ourselves. We want to be those reliable, trustworthy people that people can lean on. No matter how difficult circumstances get, we want to be stronger and better, encouraging and more supportive to those around us. But church, there's no way we can do that on our own strength. Invariably, we will let people down if we try to live in level one faithfulness. The only way to be the kind of people we've been created to be is to be full of faith in Jesus Christ first. And the good news is that faith he gives us to, we don't even muster that up ourselves. The faith to believe in Christ is given to us, and then he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he produces even more faithfulness in us and more faithfulness in it. He does all of the work. We just lean in and embrace what he's doing. I was going to end in a one way, but we're going in a new direction right now. I want you to stand. Can we do that blessing song? Can we switch to that right now? In that song, this blessing song, there is declaration in the verses of God's faithfulness. And then what I want you to grab a hold of, when it talks about and your children for generations, you are declaring the faithfulness of God over your family, and you're rejoicing in the faithfulness of those who came before you. You maybe didn't get everything right in the family you grew up in, but God says, I have given you a new heart, and I have put my life and my spirit in you, and now you can be generations of blessing. So we can rejoice in wherever we start from and say thank you. But I just want you to know, as we were singing that song, I just started speaking my children's name out loud and said, that's, you said, God, you keep every word you've ever made. You said generations of blessing. Lord, so I want us to declare God's faithfulness over our family, declare God's faithfulness over this church family, declare God's faithfulness over this community. I want us to sing this song with a revelation of the faithfulness of God, and he's going to do what he has promised, and all we're doing is rehearsing his words to him when we sing this song. These are straight scripture. These are promises he made in his word. So I just would love us to close singing this song with a little deeper grasp of the faithfulness of God. Let's go for it for a few moments. He's faithful. He's faithful, church. Probably would have helped some of you. Some of you are like, yeah, that's great for you, Merle. You got kids. You know, if you're in the body of Christ, you are receiving life and giving life to all of those around you. There are some people in here who haven't had biological children, and they have thousands of spiritual children. Sue and I were with a couple yesterday, and he was telling story after story after story of sharing the gospel. He has led hundreds of people to faith in Christ. I told him, I said, you're going to have such a good time in heaven when you are introduced to some of these people. And they will describe the generations of people who are walking with Jesus because you share Jesus with them. So I don't care who you are. You can bear fruit for generations in the family of God if you'll step in to a relationship with Jesus and walk with him and just do life with him and how he leads you. I feel like I'm ready for 90-minute church services again. That's all right. I want to find my page with my blessing. I took the prayer in Philippians 1 that Paul prayed, and I paraphrased it to pray over you all. So if you want to receive this Paul prayer paraphrased, just open your hands up, open your heart up. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for my brothers and sisters at Grace. Give you thanks for all the brothers and sisters in Christ watching on a live stream. Each time I pray for my church family, I pray with joy because the good news of Jesus Christ is spreading in our hearts and overflowing to others all through our community. And I pray with confidence that God, who began the good work within each of us, will continue this work until it is finally finished, faithfully completed on the day when Christ returns. It is right that I should feel confident and joyful about each one of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God in confirming and defending the truth of the good news. Your life exhibits the good news of the gospel. God knows how much I love you and long for you to know the love and compassion of Christ. I pray and bless you so that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep growing in knowledge and understanding. I pray and bless you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. I pray and bless you to always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus. For this will produce love and faithfulness in your life, and you will bring much glory and honor and praise to God. Go out now, church, in the love and faithfulness of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you, church. And can you just keep singing that song over us while we leave? We already blew through 60 minutes. Let's just keep doing it, for heaven's sake. Love you, church. Go.